I was toting my pack along the windy Conshohocken Road. When along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Conshohocken, hoss with me, you can ride.
All right, so lovely. So here we are. Welcome to a special crossover episode of Barnstorming and the Hub for Progress. A lot of people who are, if you're a longtime listener, you may know I'm Jordy Comis. I'm one of the co-producers, co-hosts for Barnstorming PA. And one of the things I spend a lot of time on is the Hub for Progress, which is an organized network of people and organizations across central PA, trying to get into all of rural PA. And we're all about how do we shorten the path from passion to action. And I'm really thrilled here. I'm going to have each of them introduce themselves, to have Penn Garvin and Daryl Lewis, two friends and collaborators and co-facilitators for the Hub for Progress. And what we're going to talk about today is a little bit of a roundtable about a really exciting network summit that Daryl and Penn have been, Penn likes to say, holding the focus on. Right? Is that the phrase, Penn?
That's right.
Yep. So, Penn, why don't you say hi? Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go to Daryl.
Oh, hi, everyone. It's nice to be on. It's my first time on Barnstorming, so it's nice to be here. I've heard a lot about it, listened to it, but never been on. I have been very happy to be working with the Hub, which, as Jordy said, formed after the shock of what happened in the 2016 election. A group of us got together and started thinking about what we could do. And we realized living out in rural Pennsylvania the way we do, we need to give each other support. We need to know who each other is that's doing what kind of work. A lot of the groups started after 2016, and a lot of them have been going before. And our main desire when we formed it was to be a place to help people network and also to make sure that communication is going, that we knew who was doing what and helping each other and what events were happening and scheduling them and so forth. So that's how it started. The Hub has never thought of itself as a separate organization. It's a network of organizations helping to bring people together. We've always looked at ourselves as helping to amplify what other groups are doing, what the groups within the Hub are doing. We have a very diverse group of people. Some are working for gun sense. Some are working for climate. Some are working on elections. There's a great variety of what people do. So we have the broadsheet, which is a newsletter that comes out most often weekly that fills people in on what's going on. I often recommend to groups that they look at the broadsheet, not because there's so much more you should be doing, but because it gives you a sense of how much is going on in our area and you start to feel supported. No one can do it all, but there's a lot going on that you may not know about that will help you feel more supported. So my enjoyment in working with the Hub is that I like to do training, and I have found ways that groups could use trainings, and we've done a lot of pulling people together to learn some new skills. And so that's my involvement and with the Hub. And Daryl has joined. He's part of the facilitators of the Hub for Progress. He's a fairly new member, but brings an awful lot of insight and ideas to the group. So Daryl, I'm going to sort of turn it over to you.
Major interest in and reasons for getting involved is, you realize at a certain point that there are limitations to what politicians are willing to do. So the things that you and I realize that we're frustrated with, it's nothing new. It's nothing that they don't know, but there's a lot that they're unwilling to do because it is politically compromising for them. So it becomes our responsibility to drive those changes, to make them happen, to request funds, to be the force that makes the reality from what's essentially a shared dream. So it takes people like you, like me, like the person who's sitting at home tired of playing video games and not doing anything with their life. It takes all of us to step up and realize that we have the power, and the system is silently begging for us to activate, to take these matters into our own hands, approach them with knowledge and grace. And it does not take a lot to gain the knowledge and grace when you have resources like the Hub available, because the Hub is filled with experienced trainers, experienced political consultants, experienced protesters, experienced activists who want to lead by networking and equipping and empowering that person that doesn't think that they can make a difference, because you're the next generation of people that make the world better. So that's why I'm here. I want to be part of that organization that makes the world better by making you realize how powerful you are.
Wow, that was so awesome, Daryl, and so well put. And it's, you know, just to give without breaking our arms, patting ourselves in the back, the facilitators for the Hub, you know, intentionally was created as a group that would have a lot of diversity in terms of different kinds of organizations, different regions, but also with planned successive turnover. I haven't counted recently, but there might've been 11 or 12 total who have ever been a facilitator. You know, I think that's important and that's vital, you know, in any organization, that you bring new people in and you bring new people in and into places of, you know, leadership or important contribution or advice. You know, I've learned a lot, you know, having a chance to work with you and, you know, things that kind of become taken for granted for me, you know, hear you articulate them and describe them. I'm like, oh yeah, that's what we're doing. And so an example of that is you were talking about how people, you know, can feel, like there's the, you know, the politicians out there aren't necessarily following through. And I was thinking about how, for me, like one of the key things is like fragmentation. I think fragmentation is really constant and persistent across both like civic and community, but also political spaces. And it often works to the advantage of the powers that be. They don't want, right, the people out there connecting or communicating or talking to each other. And so one of the early pieces of the Hub for Progress that I wrote that maybe is worth dusting off was kind of like how to run a great network, like commandments. Like, I don't mean to offend anybody with religious sensibility, but from you know, my own background is getting a PhD basically in networks and organizations, was that like the things that people do anyway, where when they're trying to solve a problem, like how do we get this event going? How do we do, you know, how do we have this community event? How do we have this block party? How do we do this, you know, voter registration drive? They tend to use networks, even networks of people within an organization. So like network search and using networks to find resources is something people do already. So two key things about the foundation of the origins of the Hub was, let's make that less serendipitous and haphazard, right? Let's help everybody be more intentional and better able to do that network search and access and resources. And the other is, sometimes I write down like the network greater sign than the organization. In my mind, you know, organizations like have a mission, they have a purpose, they come and go, they live and die, which is fine. You know, what is really damaging is when the network of people who hold all that together, if that becomes too fragmented or if it collapses. And sometimes it's over interpersonal things. Sometimes it's over differences in strategy. Like that's what is, you know, really holds us back. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of throw out a little bit of the kind of network effect. Yeah, Pen.
I'd like to pick up on that because I think, I don't know about other people, but people I've talked to and myself, we have been really working hard for the past 5 years. It's been a long haul from the time that we were shocked, some of us more than others, at what happened with 2016, through all that we had to go through it being worse than we even imagined. The run-up to the election and all that we had to go through and stopping being afraid of a coup and all that, which is that fear is not totally gone, as we know. There's been a lot of emotional work, a lot of physical work, constantly having to be on, so to speak. That is tiring. And I think it's important for us as activists. And this is one of the things we're going to be talking about at the summit that we're having on October 9th. We as activists need to look at this as the long haul. This is not, as we said in the beginning, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We've done a lot of amazingly wonderful work. We all know that. I hope we all know that because we have. We have stayed involved. I have to be very honest, when Biden was elected, even with 48% of the electorate voting for Trump, I was really afraid that people would just kind of step back. Oh, well, we're done now. Biden's and everything will be fine. And we have not done that. I'm just very pleased with what we have been doing as a movement. However, it's very tiring. And that's one of the things that I want to give people permission. And one of the things we'll be talking about at the summit, and that is that there are times you need to step back. We lost him again.
Just keep going. It's fine.
Okay. There are times that we need to step back. There are times that we need to give other people support for stepping back. Sometimes we get worried, oh my God, everyone's stepping back and what's going to happen? But we really have to understand that you can't go at a emergency pace for too long. It's not good for us individually. It's not good for us as a movement. So that's a really important piece. And we'll be talking about that at the summit.
Yeah, Penn. So let's you know, what I'm really excited. I feel like I'm hearing the specials at a restaurant. Like what are some of the things we're going to do on the summit on October 9th? I should have said this before. This is, I should have counted the fourth or fifth kind of summit we've had going back to 2017. The first one you and I were both at, which was in a friend's borrowed farmhouse sort of / retreat center with butcher paper, and through pandemics. And, you know, a lot of this has been the most grassroots kind of grassroots organizing. I just realized, you know, they've been in restaurants, basements, attics at Dwayne's house, borrowed farmhouses, and a lot on Zoom. But anyway, this is the fifth or sixth, but we're really excited. I know I'm really excited because this is part of a larger process of stepping forward and stepping out with the hub and building its strength so that it's around for the long haul. But anyway, what kinds of things are going to happen?
Well, first of all, the summit, as you said, Jordy, this is not the first one. This is about the fourth one that we've had. We try to have one every year. So, but the summit is really a time for all the different organizations that are part of the network to check in with each other, to figure out what organizations are involved and who's involved, and to really see each other. That's one thing. Certainly during this year of the pandemic, where we've been either on Zoom and not meeting in person, that's an important thing. And the summit will be on Zoom. But it's a chance to check in and kind of figure out where we are as a network. And so that's one of the things that we'll be doing. One of the other things we'll be doing, we've asked people who have signed up for this summit to do a survey, give us information about what they want. So that is something we'll be looking at. It's some of the issues that you all have written that you would like us to deal with, that will be looked at. We're looking at two parts, and Daryl will speak to one. I'm going to speak to the one that I was speaking about before. How do we support each other, work more closely, and actually work together in planning some things together in the times that are coming up, in the year that's coming up? That's part of what we'll be looking at. How to get people feeling that they can go ahead and move forward and feel supported and moving forward and not overwhelmed and tired. So that'll be one. The other part, and Daryl's really good at this, is looking at people who are new, who maybe have not thought about being involved. And so, Daryl, I'm going to let you talk a little bit more about that, because that's another piece that the Hub does. Is so if it's if you are somebody who has not been involved that much, but you would like to check out the Hub, that is part of what we'll be doing also. So, Daryl, I'm going to let you talk a little bit more about sort of getting energized and as you're a new person to all of this.
I think one of the most, one of the largest limiters or limitations or obstacles to realizing that you can be an activist is there's no guidebook. There are no rules. It's not easy to find people to take you under their wing or really educate you and guide you as to what's the process. It's not like you can walk into your local activist franchise and get paid $7.25 an hour. And after a year, you're a fully trained activist. You know,
I'm picturing, you know, McJustice, $40 billion yet to be served.
I like it, McJustice. Before I say anything that gets me kicked off the air or repudiated, I'll leave.
You can't be, because I have my fingers on the button, so you're good.
I'll leave the McJustice joke on the golden platter that you put it on. So it's really a matter of making a choice. It's a matter of making a choice to want to take your thoughts, want to take your passions, your desires, your hopes, and your dreams that you have for yourself, for your family, for your future children, for the environment, and giving yourself permission. And after that, it's easy. It's easy to find groups that align with your passions because they're very well represented online. It's easy to show up to the first meeting. It's easy to ask the group, how can you help? And it's also fairly easy to form your own group. It's also fairly easy to find a handful of people that are as motivated as you are and just bring attention to what's important to you. And we make it easier because we have the resources to connect you to other people. We have the resources to tell you that if you have 20 protesters that are showing up every day, maybe one of you could be the president. Maybe one of you can be the vice president. Maybe one of you can write grants all day. Maybe one of you can think about events. And then the next thing you know, you have the most influential group of 4 to 5 people in your county, in your town. And you have a group that other people are looking to and asking for help and guidance and support. Maybe even you have a group where now you're on the radar of your town and city council because they know that you can get things done. And it's just a matter of giving yourself permission and having the drive to make it happen. And these things do happen quickly because politics happen quickly. So another alienating factor or something that makes good people stop before they can become great people is that they don't know if they have any skills that'll make a difference. And I'm here to break it to you. Literally anything that you do can be tilted and turned into activism. I mentioned video games earlier. Well, I'm planning an event where we're going to have a video game tournament or a competition. And you know what? If anybody pays a little bit of money to be there, then that money can be donated. And congratulations, your passion for gaming is now your passion for activism.
What games are going to be?
Oh, it'll probably be something standard like a Mortal Kombat on the fighting side, a 2K on the sports side, and I know the Fortnite's very popular now, so
okay,
so that might be something that you have to pull in there.
Taylor and I have been talking about maybe starting up a Twitch and a Discord because people talk about this. We both play Civ, which kind of cracks me up. Sure. I think probably a lot of people who are into organizing probably like to play Civ.
Civ as well.
There you go. So we'll rope you in.
But I cheat though, so I don't know if I can claim the purity of organizing while I'm simultaneously cheating.
So sorry, I got excited about video games. So you know, you had this great, you know, that whatever you're good at or passionate about, then that can become an asset. And you know, one of the things that we do as organizers and as the hub is find the ways that can plug together. Ben, you wanted to jump in on the video games. What are you good at? Pong.
Daryl, I'm not with the games. I'm not good at that. But Daryl, I always love your ideas of how people can start where they are and move forward from where they are. That is one of the things that, as an activist, to encourage other people to not just sit home and complain or feel bad and start getting depressed, but to take that upset, those complaints, that anger, and put it into action. And you're very good at that. And that's one of the things that we're looking at, how not just those of us who've been involved for a long time can re-energize ourselves, but how we can work together and energize other people who've not been involved, of whatever age, who've not been involved before, to get involved. Because really, being involved in doing something with other people to make the world better makes you feel better, makes each person feel better. And it's a very, what you just were talking about get involved and take what you have and be somebody who can take new ideas and make them happen in the community. That's some of what we want to be doing and helping people to do.
So
absolutely,
because I feel like this is the hat I wear. This is probably backwards, but something you were saying, Daryl, that I think is really relevant is this is a book that came out. I feel like last year, and I just looked it came out in 2006. But The Wealth of Networks by Yochai Benkler. One of the arguments he makes is that that if you can break that, often there's a lot of surplus capacity to do things. So, for example, to do community change or social change or to make justice happen in a specific way, people, there's enough labor to do it. But the thing is that we need the coordination mechanism so people know what to do and they can plug in. Right. And so I think what you were describing is a great example. And if, you know, if somebody wants to geek out on an academic book, The Wealth of Networks says a lot about that. And part of his point is that as the costs of communication technologies, digital technologies has lowered the cost of coordination. In some cases, it makes it easier to solve that problem. Right. And so, for sure, for me, and I think back when I first got started doing organizing as a college student in 1990, you know, we would have to assemble a mail list to do a mailing, right? So that was like a bigger lift to sort of connect with people. The flip side, and I don't want to get too wonky on this or nerdy, is, you know, there's an attention economy, and it's so easy to communicate that we all have to work harder to get people's attention. So, you know, to me, it's kind of best of times, worst of times with these things.
I'd like to pick up on something you just said, Jordy, about attention, because mm-hmm. one of the things that I feel that I'm hoping that we can do in this area, I would like it to happen in general, is that we progressives are not that good at really clearly spelling out what we want. We're very good at saying what we don't like, and we're very good at saying what we, you know, what we think should happen as an alternative. But we're not that good at putting out what we view the vision that we have as society. And that's one of the things that when we come together and work together, I think that we can do a better job at if we are intentional about doing that. It's one of the things that I've been have thought about over time.
Mm-hmm. So I just glanced. There are already 30 people signed up, and it's 2 weeks away. That's really cool. And I saw both a mix of familiar people and some new people. I know the survey, last time I checked, had I think 12 or 13 responses, which is great and really useful. So let's just kind of walk me through it. So it's October 9th. It starts at 10. Is that right?
It starts at from 10 to 11 is going to be the plan time. We didn't do it longer than other summits have been half a day or at least a couple of hours. This is 1 hour because we are aware that Zoom is hard for people to be on. The second hour from 11 to 12, we are going to keep open, and it'll be more a time to just network among yourselves, get to know people, more informal. The formal part will really be looking at, we don't have everything worked out yet because we're just looking at the surveys and want to make sure that we have people's input. But the formal part will be looking at how we take care of ourselves during this period of time, how we work together during this period of time, and how we can mentor new people in, help to include new people in the work that we're doing. And also we'll be presenting a bit of information about some of the ideas that the Hub has been thinking about how to pull together more training in a more organized fashion to let people, as Daryl was saying, there's no place you can go to learn how to be an activist. Well, there's a lot of materials that we have. And we're starting to think about how to make that more effectively and coherently available to people who are interested in becoming involved in different ways.
We'll also offer some essentials, things that you absolutely should know, like the structure of local, county, and national politics. What are the three balances of power? What do they do? So it's good to know what you want. There are definitely things that we can teach you that will save you a lot of steps, because a lot of people seem to think that their president, the president of the country, can do things for them locally. It doesn't work that way. I mean,
yeah,
they don't have control over your town's budget, you know.
Yeah,
and surprise, your mayor might define the budget, but your mayor doesn't allocate the funds, you know. So it's important for you to actually know where the budget's being spent so you can actually campaign and ask the correct people so you can actually have effective campaigning and efforts being put forward.
I'm going to butcher it, but Ayanna Pressley, the rep from Massachusetts Congressional Rep, said something like budgeting is my moral love language or something like that. You know, and other people have riffed on that in the past. But for sure, you know, somebody who's involved in local governance at the borough level and where I live in Lewisburg, squeaky wheels. I mean, sometimes they're actually a problem because they get people, they get local officials to pay attention to things that don't matter. But in general, you know, we have so few people come to meetings. Just coming gives you a lot of informal power, kind of legitimacy. Well, we're going to wrap up like, you know, one sentence. Why should somebody go to the sign up, which I'll put in the show notes for people to access. You can also go to the hubs, thehubforprogress.org, thehub4progress.org. So all spelled out. You can also sign up there. But like one sentence, Daryl and Penn.
There's a misnomer that the greatest American power is voting. And I think people attribute that strictly to voting for president, but it depends on what you want to see changed and where you want to see it changed. Because sometimes the greatest power is showing up and asking the right person. So an organization like the Hub will teach you when it's important to vote, when it's important to show up and ask, and empower you to make those choices and inform the people around you to make the most effective use of your time and your voice.
And come also to meet really, really good, interesting people and to feel supported in the work that you're doing or in getting involved if you're not already involved. So please come and share with other people. It's just it'll be a good 2 hours and we would love to meet you. You'll meet us. And it's a time really that you can share your ideas with us. It's going to be we're doing some presentation, but it's a lot of time to share. So please come.
Awesome. I'm going to add, in a tongue-in-cheek way, it's also, it's a great event to come if you love community events, but you're terrified of potlucks, because since it's virtual, you don't have to deal with anybody's weird, whatever they cooked up in a crock pot. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, George, for having us on.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Thank you for making the time and for putting up with all the tech problems. And we'll see you soon.
So I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He said, if you can't take these twists and turns, man, I don't blame you. I said, listen, I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania.